Good evening on this Wednesday of the 27th of May. I'm blessed with this, another opportunity to share some stories of Jesus, what he's done in my life and what he's showing me. And I'm grateful and blessed and honored to have this opportunity. I'd like to go in prayer and open up in prayer right now and let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this new day of mercy. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for creating us in your image and your breath that fills our lungs. Lord, I pray that you go now and empty me and fill me more with your spirit, Father, to pour out the words that you have me to say. Lord, I pray that you go now and start tilling the soul of those hardened hearts. And Lord, I pray for the ones that are sick and suffering. Lord, I pray for the ones that are in addictions. Lord, I pray for the ones that are marriages are struggling. Lord, I pray that you restore those that are in need with your love and grace and mercy. And Lord, pour out the words you want me to say. I love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, last time I got to speak, it kind of cut in and out. And I shared a little bit of testimony with you, and I'll be touching a little bit on testimony of what God's done in my life. And first, I kind of want to start off here in Genesis, in chapter 2 and verse 7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. I want to share something with you is we acknowledge God every time we breathe. Every time we inhale and exhale, we're acknowledging Yahweh. And I share this with a lot of people, and I kind of call it as a breathing exercise. And it's when we inhale, we say Yahweh. You know, and we're created in God's image, as it says here in Genesis, and his breath fills our lungs. You know, but later on here in Genesis, it talks about when Adam had his son, and his son is in the likeness of Adam. And you know, after sin entered the garden, we're in the likeness of Adam, but we're created in God's image. And what I mean by that is, the battlefield is in our mind, and we think from Adam. Until we start putting on Christ and moving forward in Christ and letting him renew our mind, as it says here in Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's Romans 12:2. There's something that I do is as I take a journal and I write down the verses in God's word that I'm going through. Like in this here, it's in this section, it's the battlefield of the mind. And I have all these verses where it talks about our mind and how we should be renewing our mind and taking our thoughts captive to obey Christ. And, you know, and I have some illustrations. You know, people ask me, well, Bobby, how do you take your thoughts captive to obey Christ? And I said, well, let me give you some illustrations. But before I do that, I want to share a little bit about me. Also is I had anger, rage issues. I was bipolar. I had drug addictions. I live an adultery lifestyle. I had a vulgar mouth, coarse jokes, a very selfish heart, very, very selfish. And God, once I surrendered to Christ, He has taken that old stony heart, as it talks about in Ezekiel, and given me a new heart, physically and spiritually. 4.5 years ago, I was struggling in my addictions. I was in a dark place, and I ended up, from my drug addictions, my heart, the valve in my heart went bad, and I was very shameful to talk about that because, you know, I did that to myself, and I just always said, you know, my heart valve went bad, but it was caused the drug addiction, and God has released me from that in the last year or so to speak on this because it's truth. In that drug addiction, and it affected that valve in my heart, and so I have a new valve in my heart. It's a pig valve, and I had an ablation done, which they froze the upper part of my heart for AFib, and then that didn't take. And I still had heart racing episodes. And so then months later, after the open heart surgery, they went in and did another ablation. They went through my main arteries and they burnt two nerves in the lower part of my heart. And so my heart has a pig valve. It's been burnt and it's been frozen. And I have a scar from here to here and two holes down here and a hole in my neck from the scars. And I say that man repaired my heart, but God's given me a new one. Glory be to God. Because it's a radical change in my life that he's done. Because I have surrendered to him. I went to that mountaintop and surrendered my life to Christ. And I've been moving forward ever since then, committed to serve him. And I said, Lord, wherever you send me, I'll follow. And he sends me all over these places in the world, the jails, and just, it's not me. It's Christ in me and me in Christ. And I know that. And there's a fire that burns in me to share the gospel, to share the love of Jesus. You know, and every time I see my wife, I see the reflection of Jesus. Because it's that grace, love, and mercy that she shows me. That I don't even deserve. For the things I've done. You know, I've been married for 29 years this September. And you know, on my 25th anniversary, you know, a lot of people give gifts of gold and silver and other things, you know. And I brought adultery. But she's forgiven me. Praise be to God, but God's forgiven me. And I share these things because I want to bring hope and healing to others because I know what it's like to be down there in that place of darkness because I was riddled with guilt and shame and I wanted to take my life. And a man showed up at my house that day I was going to do it and started talking to me. I knew immediately that God had sent this man. He was checking the water meter. And I knew this man, God had sent this man that day at that time to talk to me and show me that Jesus had a purpose and a plan for my life. I wish I could say it was easier. You know, and the open heart surgery was a wake-up call. It wasn't. After the heart surgery, I was still getting high, you know, and it's hard when you cut open and, you know, you laugh and you cough and you have to hold your chest. It's awful. I struggled for 3 months after that until I finally said, I can't do this anymore, Lord. You've got to help me. And I want to stand on truth that he delivered me. He freed me. You know, he freed me from all these addictions. The anger, the rage, the vulgar mouth, the coarse jokes, the bipolar. And I praise be to God that I'm on no kind of medication for my heart, for anything. Because I have the healer, Jehovah Rapha, God of healing, healed me. And I come to you today because I know a lot of you are struggling. It's a season of struggle for a lot. And a lot of people are praising God because it's a season of glorious reigning blessings on them. You know, and with that is God's good. God's so good. We are so blessed. So blessed. He pours out double blessings upon us. And what I mean by that is, God pours out double blessings, which are grace and mercy that was provided through his son's blood on the cross that cleanses us and covers us. That we don't even deserve. I don't even deserve. But God's a loving God. He's faithful. His promises are true. And I just want to share that with you. And, you know, I was wanting to talk about the battlefield of the mind tonight. And so many other things of, it's just, God's so powerful and glorious. I want to share a story with you. Last year I was in Nepal and I was trekking with a team there. We was sharing Jesus when we was allowed to. Not all places there we was allowed to. I got to see an altar there in one village where they did sacrifices once a year of a young bull. And I see them pray to idols and things, and it's very real, you know. We don't see that so much here, but it was different there. Well, as I'm excited about this journey because God has placed this on my heart 2 years ago, and it finally come together, and we're fixing to start out trekking, and I had my backpack on and my sling bag in the front there, and I felt like a mighty warrior going off to war for Christ Jesus. I remember that. I remember that moment like it's yesterday, and I'm marching or walking through the village there, and it just, wow, it's just like, I'm ready. I got this. In 30 minutes to 45 minutes later, I'm on my knees, broke down, and I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me, team. I hike all the time. I don't know what's going on. I just can't. I'm about to pass out. And I'll never forget one of the girls on the team. They're all supportive. They're fixing to send me back down the mountain to catch a bus and catch up with them 2 days later. And, you know, I said I wasn't leaving the team. And therefore, one of the girls on the team, Mel, she came up to me and said, let me carry your bag. And I was so weak, I just handed my backpack, and I believe Jonathan had carried my sling bag for a little while. And I said, you know, I'm so sorry. Don't be sorry. And she said, I said, I just don't know what's wrong with me. And she said, well, here's the thing. The enemy can't attack you here, but he's attacking you physically. And I was like, how did I not see that? Because I study a lot about spiritual warfare and things, and how did I not see that? And as I reflected back on that, I remember saying, I got this. So if you're in recovery, which I am, sober recovery, and I share it with everybody, is when you say, I got this, or tell somebody else, you got this, those are very dangerous words. Because we don't have nothing without Christ. Christ has it all. God has us. God's got this. And so I share that with you as an illustration of the battlefield in the mind. And when that war is raging in our mind, and we just get overwhelmed, And we want to resurrect the old self, which is dead, because we're a new creation in Christ if you belong to Christ, if you accept Him in your heart and surrendered fully. We have to take those rebellious thoughts captive to obey Christ. And you say, Bobby, how do you do that? And I'm going to give you an illustration that God has shown me in several ways. But the main part of that is to taking that thought captive to obey Christ. Let me say that again, to obey Christ. We could take a thought captive, but if we leave Christ out, that thought's going to go to another dark thought. We have to obey Christ. Well, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning one morning, and I woke up to gushing water. So I run into our bathroom there at the house, and water is just, the cutoff valve had come off the supply line to the toilet, and water is shooting up like a geyser. And I'm moving back and forth from a dead sleep, just saying, oh. So it just finally registered, go in the house and cut the valve off. And so I went over the house, cut the water off. And when I come back up, my wife had taken the blankets and towels and corralled that water up, made like a dam to keep it secured. And I had looked at her. We made eye contact. And she looked at me, and that look on her face was, I'll never forget it. She was prepared for me to go off and fussing and cussing and punching a hole in the wall. But I looked at her and said, I praise God. I praise God because, one, we're at home, and I praise God that I'm not the person I used to be. And then I said, God, I want to see you in this trial and this testing. I want to see you. And what he showed me was that was the living water flowing by the throne. Because I want to see God in everything. I want to seek him in everything. You know, I was working here at the church today, and I found a little heart-shaped rock. And then right over there, I found a little piece of insulation that was shaped like a heart. And those represent a lot to me because that shows what God's done to my heart. And everywhere I go, I find something shaped like a heart as a reminder what he's done to my heart, physically and spiritually. Praise be to God. There's power in the name of Jesus. As I was in the Paul, as I was saying earlier, you know, once I realized I captured that thought of why I was so broke down, I immediately started praising God and speaking, there's power in the name of Jesus. And I kept quoting Philippians 4:13. I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he did. I could feel his hand pick me up and move me up that mountain. And the rest of that 2 weeks journey, there was times that I was out front. I'm the oldest one on the whole team. And then I'd fall back and minister to one of the other guys and say, walk behind him just saying, there's power in the name of Jesus. You could do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I was lifting him up because that's what we're supposed to do with one another. We lift each other up. We lift each other up in the mighty name of Jesus. I apologize for my eyes sweating. a lot of people have been reaching out and they're struggling. As I was talking to DJ earlier, it weighs on our hearts sometimes. And you know, I know we cast our burdens and cares upon Christ and lightens the load for us. But we're still flesh and, you know, and it's still hard to see a brother and a sister struggling. You know, but there is people that you can lead them to the water, but you can't force them to drink it. And what I mean by that, they're constantly running on that hamster wheel of struggle. Are you in God's word? No. Are you reading the devotional? No. How's your prayer life? Well, I need to do more of it. Are you journaling? None of these things. These are the tools that you build on the foundation of Christ. Don't pawn those tools. Use them. Build on that foundation. I'm excited to see the church family Sunday. And I'm excited next Tuesday to see the CR family, Celebrate Recovery family. Been missing you all. I really have. And I missed that fellowship time. But through all this, I've had a great time with my family. And God's shown me that, you know, family is our first ministry. And sometimes we get overwhelmed by serving others in so many different directions that we lose focus on our family, and our family fall to the side. And, you know, I've done that for years when I was living a selfish life before I surrendered to Christ. That is all about me, 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 me. You know, and the enemy's roaming around like a roaring lion seeking who he could devour. And I believe that. But we have to stand firm on God's word. And when it goes back to in James here. Well, how do you combat that, Bobby? Let me tell you. James 4:7. This is the Christian Standard Version. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's truth. That's God's word. That's truth. I want to share a couple other verses here with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is in Ephesians 4:23-24. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let me say that again. Instead, let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, renew your thoughts and attitudes. Verse 24, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Read that again. Put on your new nature, Christ Jesus, created to be like God. You see where I'm going there? Before we're in the likeness of Adam, but now we're a new nature. Created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. We're made righteous through Jesus. That was what I just read, was in Ephesians 4:23-24. This here is in Colossians 3:10. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. I'll read that again because I want these to sink in. I want you to write them down and meditate them day and night. That's what it says in His word we need to do. We need to engrave it in our hearts. Put on your new nature, Christ Jesus. And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In the likeness of Christ. That's what we're doing. It's a sanctification. It's a process. It's day by day. We deny ourselves. We pick up our cross and follow Jesus.
That's how we become like him. Then here in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. I'm going to read this in Romans 8:6. Romans 8:6. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace. Oh, that's glorious. A peace that's, I can't explain it. I can't explain that peace. It's great. It's glorious. I experience that peace and that joy from Christ because he lives in me and I in him. And I want to read that again. It's Romans 8:6. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. We'll read this in Isaiah 26:3-4. Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. Let me read that again. You will keep in perfect peace all trust in Jesus and whose thoughts are fixed on Jesus. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Praise be to God. So I want to encourage you, when you're going through, I really don't even like to call them struggles anymore. I like to call them conflicts. And when these conflicts, and we take those conflicts captive to obey Christ, they don't become into a battle and a war, because when that, those battles and those wars have already been won through the blood of Jesus. We're victorious. And in Exodus 14:14, this is one of my favorite verses, is the Lord will fight for you. Just stay calm. And then the Lord is a warrior and Yahweh is his name. But I want to encourage you, whatever you're going through, if you're needing peace, if you're searching for joy, and or if you need strength, you just need guidance, go to the Word of God and study it and journal it. I call this my battle plan. And you know, sometimes I don't always have my big Bible with me, but I try to keep my battle plan with me. You know, and I have these verses wrote down, and so if somebody's struggling with strength, I pop up and read, find strength, and I share verses with them because it brings hope and healing to others. People, God is so good. He loves you so much, so much. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. But you have to surrender. You have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. You know, I remember back in the day there is I'd take a little sin, and just this little sin, it wasn't much, and I'd sweep it under the rug,
And then I had this other little sin that nobody knew about it. It's just me. And I had to sweep it under the rug. But my Heavenly Father knew about it. He knows my heart. And I take this other sin and sweep it under the rug. And here comes another one. It's okay. I got this. Sweep it under the rug. Before I knew it, that rug became a mountain. And I was walking around that mountain. Just like the Israelites. How did I get here? I wasn't confessing my sin. In James 5:16, it says, if we confess our sins to one another, pray for another, we'll be healed. And that's truth. I could testify to that because I remember that years ago, then 4 years ago, I stood down here in front of this church and I didn't really know a handful, five people maybe. I was the only person that stood up here in the balcony and listened to the service, be a little convicted by Josh's message, and then I'd leave and be a hateful person going home and couldn't wait to get high. And I remember when all this junk was, all my sin was uncovered because I couldn't, that rug was moved. It was uncovered. And I stood right here and testified of who I was. Reaching out who I was. And I sat down, but I was embraced by Pete Higgs, Dan Spiral, some others. And that touched my heart. It's embedded in my heart. And I'll never forget. My wife got up and stood right there and said, he who has no sin cast the first stone, and left it at that. I have a godly wife that I love dearly. And she is the image of Christ because I can see the reflection of grace and mercy and love that's unconditional. Oh, it's overwhelmed with joy. These are tears of joy. It's not sadness. It's not nothing hidden. Everything in my life's exposed. I have nothing to hide. You know, and I want to speak to you men and women that if you got a lock on your phone, you hide stuff, give it up. There's no sense in that. You know, she knows exactly where I'm at. We have this thing called Life 360. We actually kind of implied it for our daughter, but we're tracked everywhere we go. It says how long you've been at this certain place or whatever, and you know, and I'm okay. I don't have nothing to hide anymore. I'm transparent. Nothing. Glory be to God, because I praise Him, because for what He's done for me. It's glorious and powerful. You know, I used to use the term as, well, that's wild or that's crazy. And no, God's renewing this thing, this mind. He's renewing it and reusing my words, the verbiage that I use. And it's glorious and powerful because that's who the God I serve is. He's glorious and powerful. You know, and one day I'll get to see Him personally. But right now, I see Him in all things. And you know, once we come to Christ, it's not that we, on this earth, that we, well, I got a retirement plan one day, can't wait to get to heaven. Well, that's a little bit selfish. Because once we come to Christ, heaven comes down into us. Heaven's now. The kingdom's now. It's living in us. And so therefore, we have to live it. We have to be an example. We can quote scripture all we want, but if we don't apply it to our heart and make it action, it's useless. It's useless. Because I want to get to heaven one day and hear my Savior, my King, Jesus say, well done, my faithful servant. Come on in.
And you know, in the scriptures, it also says that every knee bow and every tongue will confess. That's for the believer and non-believer. So in my mind, I'm thinking, why not do it now? Why not be on your knees now and confess that he's Lord and Savior of your life? You know, it's not no fancy prayer, and I can't pray a prayer for you. I could tell you that all you got to do is surrender your life to Christ and say, hey, God, I can't do this anymore. I surrender my life to you. Come in me and live inside of me and show me and guide me to the right path that you want me to take. It's really that simple. But you have to mean it. And you have to apply it. Will the walk be easy? I wish I could say yeah. But it's not. But I will tell you this, for truth, and testify in my life, it brings me a peace and a joy. A peace that it passes all understanding. And a joy that's eternal. And I want to share something with you between happiness and joy. Happiness is what's happening right now. Joy is eternal, and it's rejoicing in the Lord. I was doing my devotional back a few years ago, and I was reading in the devotional, and it's talking about bookends. You know, bookends hold books straight up. Well, that's the same thing with our prayer life. We start off with praise and we end in praise and we pray. And the praise is the bookends to our prayer life that holds it straight up to God. You know, we get it a lot is praise and worship. And we relate it so much to music. And worship, what God has shown me, is worship is communion with God constantly. On that last video I had shared, I was sharing with you about how God was speaking to me through laundry. That's worship. And then I'm praising God because he's showing me, because I know that's God's wisdom being poured upon me through the Holy Spirit. I'm not a very educated person. I'm not very smart. But I know, I recognize God's wisdom and his power. And it wasn't for me that day. It was for somebody else. And it was just that little bit of obedience that God was showing me to share with somebody else. God may lay something on your heart and you don't have a clue what it means or understand it. But follow through. Be obedient and follow through with that. Because that's what he asks us to do, to be obedient. To be Christ-like is to be obedient to the Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus was. He is obedient to the Heavenly Father. It's all about obedience. You know, he's going to put a little task in front of you, see if you're obedient with that. And then it's going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, like I said earlier, if you had told me 4.5 years ago, I'd be standing up here making a video, talking to you about Jesus, and going all over the world and sharing Jesus, I'd think he was crazy. I just think, well, what you're drinking, what you smoking? Because that's not me. That's crazy. It is not me. Because I died. And I've been resurrected from the wreckage of my past through the blood of Jesus. Something God had showed me was, I went swimming in a sea of selfishness and got caught in that rip current of addictions and afflictions. But my lifeguard walked on water and reached down and told me to grab his hand. And I grabbed his hand. I reached it out. And he pulled me up and put me on a firm foundation. And I haven't looked back since. I've been moving forward. I've been advancing that front line for the kingdom of God in the spiritual war. God is so great. He loves you so much. You know, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're battling with. Let it go.
It's just a season. And I want to share with you, testify with to you about when you surrender what God will do. You know, you could be at the about ready to take your life right now. But I want to encourage you, just like that man come to my house that day, God's got a purpose and a plan for you. Maybe in a year or two right now, you'd be on the other side of the world sharing your testimony of how God restored you, picked you up, set you on that firm foundation. Your marriage might be struggling. You might be thinking of a divorce. But I'll tell you right now, that's the enemy's tactic. He wants to destroy marriages and young people. And we got to stand firm on the word of God. Just like I said right there in James. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. He has no power. The only power he has is when you give it to him. Just like Pastor Josh has said time and time again, the enemy's a liar. He's not all-knowing. And we expose our tree. And what he means by that is back in Genesis, when the serpent came to Eve and said, did God say you couldn't eat any of these trees? Eat the fruit of any of these trees? And she says, no, that one. She pointed it out. But with that statement that we show the enemy our tree, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me. We expose that tree. We show him that tree. But glory be to God, somebody's already been hung on that tree for us. And that's Jesus Christ. Jesus took it all. Took it all for us. And I want to encourage you, and I'm praying for you. Seek God in everything. Seek him. He is in everything. But you got to seek him. And one way to seek him is through his word. Get it engraved in your heart. And then when you're doing something and it comes in and you're just like, wow, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. That's God's wisdom being poured out on me. You know, I remember in Romania last year, we're putting a roof system over this outdoor kitchen. And I was planing these boards down. And as I'm planing those down, I'm just speaking to the Lord in my heart. I'm just praising him. And he's showing me that planing that wood off, all these little shavings, each time I run that planer over, is what he's showing me is I'm taking this ugly board and turning it into a beautiful board. That's the same thing what Jesus does to us. He peels off those layers of sin, little at a time, and we're created and beautiful like him. And then I put this sealer on it, this stained sealer. And it's like, wow, that's a representation of his blood that seals the deal. Glory be to God. I know that's not my thinking. Because I want to think like Jesus. I want him to change my thoughts. And I want to be like him. I'm created in his image. His breath fills my lungs. But I want to be like him. You know, I was wanting to talk about the armor of God tonight. And I'm going to touch on a little bit there. It's in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 in that area. I want you to read all the way through past the armor. Because this is something I had read it. And during my restoration period, it was really armor of God. And it just, I was really seeking it. And just one day, it was like a light switch went off. I read past the armor. Paul's in prison. He's chained in prison. And I had this mind that's like, wow, the Holy Spirit poured out on Paul as an illustration of these guards that was guarding him, their armor. You know, I'm thinking those guards know why he is in prison for sharing the gospel, so they're not really going to listen to nothing he has to say. Their hearts are probably hardened. And so the Holy Spirit pours out and starts using their armor as an illustration. I was like, wow, praise be to God. Because Paul was seeking Christ in that situation. And seeing Christ in that situation. And that's where God started showing me to seek him in all things. Because he shows me these illustrations in my life. And I want to share them with others. And, you know, it's glorious and beautiful. And God's so good. He loved you so much. He wants you to come home. He wants you to grab his hand, and he wants to set you on a firm foundation. I believe that with 100% of this restored heart, physically and spiritually. I guess I'm done. Holy Spirit, shut me down. And I'm done. And but I would like to make an announcement. Is I believe this Sunday we're having service at 9 and 11, and I'm excited to see you. And next Tuesday, CR, Celebrate Recovery, starts at 6. Unfortunately, with the virus, we won't be having a meal. And June 6th, we'll be doing the hiking ministry. You'll be picking back up, and we'll be going hiking. I don't know where, but I'm still praying about that. It's been 2 months since we've been going, so my hiking legs aren't strong. So I'm praying that God don't send me on a long journey. But it's okay, because I find strength in him. But we meet at the McDonald's there in Dandridge at 7:30. We have a little breakfast, and then we leave out by 8. But I tell people to be there by 7:30, and I'm looking forward to that. That's June 6th. And so I love you all. And I'm looking forward to coming together again and seeing you, looking at you in the eyes, because I miss that. And but glory be to God. I love you. And one more thing I want to share with you, the Holy Spirit just brought it back, is I hear the phrase a lot is God bless. God has blessed us. Let's bless God. Let's be a blessing to God. Bless God. And the only way we can do that is let him change the way we think. I love you. Thank you. Godspeed.